Are we alive and well? Jules, ready to roll?
I am.
Commissioner Randy?
Ready to roll.
Rancher or Jolly Rancher, as Sarah says these days? All right, good morning, everyone. This is Commissioner Brian Colquhoun meeting on the 12th floor of the Capitol today. It is Wednesday, December 18th, approximately 10 a.m. for our regular scheduled meeting. I have a couple opening comments. I would just throw out there that the heir to the Colquhoun estate has returned home for Christmas break. So effective noon on Thursday, when Mrs. Colquhoun goes on Christmas break from school, I expect the house will be in full holiday routine. So we all know what that means, I guess. Another comment I would say is that I'm excited about tomorrow on a personal level. A few of my friends teach at Minot High School. One's a superintendent up there. But I'm actually going up there to talk to a whole bunch of their natural resources and environmental classes. They've had a lot of discussion in the high school at Minot High about the impacts of energy, the pros and cons, whether it's wind or coal or oil. And a lot of new kids at Minot High that are new to the area, their parents work in the energy field, and a lot of kids at Minot High that have been there for years and years. And I guess they've been having some good heated discussion in the classes about whether this is good or bad for the state. So we'll be up there tomorrow looking forward to that series of presentations. And just for the staff and for the media that's out there, this is our last regularly scheduled meeting, but I am about 99.99% sure that we're going to have a meeting late next week or early on the 30th. We've got at least one case that I suspect we're going to deal with. A notice of opportunity for hearing closes December 23rd in the case that I'd like to vote on before the end of the year. I know Commissioner Fedorchak's working some pipeline cases and Commissioner Crispin's working some grain elevator cases, so I'm anticipating a special meeting, like I said, either next Friday or the following Monday. So with that, I don't have any other opening comments. I'd open up to my colleagues.
Only opening comments would be to expand on that. When we get to the agenda, I'm going to at least ask to delay one here. And so, yes, I do believe that at a subsequent meeting, but hopefully at in 2013, there will be some grain elevator, one or more cases.
All right, thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Fedorchak?
I don't have any opening comments. I'm a little bit tongue-tied today because I have a really large sore in my mouth, so I'm going to try to keep my comments short.
Well, you and Mike have to be careful in the sledding hills. Are the Fedorchak family singers going to be home soon for Christmas break?
The Fedorchak family is never gone.
No,
they're all home.
When do you get them there all the time?
They'll be done on Friday, and we'll be going on a little bit of a family reunion here before too long with the rest of my Lifrig family. So watch out, Big Sky, here we come. It's about 60 of us heading out there, so it should be a crazy fun time.
We'll alert the Montana Public Service Commission. All right. Do we have a few items on consent? I would move passage of the consent items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Since you're none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Daryl. Just wanted to make a quick highlight on one of the items on consent. It's consent BK4. It's the Public Service Commission 2014 One Call Grant. Basically, it's a $10,000 grant that we apply for, and knock on wood, we've been successful every year getting a grant from the federal pipeline group. And that $10,000 pays for the billboards you see around the state that basically say, call before you dig. And we'll put it out for a competitive process, but that's what actually funds the billboard. So it's been going on for several years. We've talked about trying to increase the level, but right now we're happy to keep what we get. So I think it's just wanted to highlight that as our ongoing program for pipeline safety. Okay, moving on to the regular scheduled agenda. Okay, item BK1. I move the commission deem the application complete and issue a notice of filing and notice of hearing an application of Basin Electric Power Company for a certificate of site compatibility authorizing construction of two additional 45-megawatt combustion turbine generators at its Lonesome Creek Station, now under construction in McKenzie County, North Dakota, case number PU-12-790.
Second.
A little background on this case. In October of this year, Basin filed an application for a certificate of site compatibility to authorize construction of two new 45-megawatt natural gas simplifier cycle combustion turbines to be located adjacent to the 45-megawatt turbine generator currently in operation. A public hearing on this application is scheduled to begin January 28th at 10 a.m. Central Time at Teddy's Residential Suites in Watford City. The little background on this case, the I should note that there is one 45-megawatt peaker in place right now, and that 45-megawatt one was not cited by the Public Service Commission. The Public Service Commission jurisdiction for siting of energy generation facilities of this type is greater than 50 megawatts. So the 45-megawatt that was cited out there did not fall under our jurisdiction. But by the addition of these two 45 megawatts, this certainly does fall under our jurisdiction. So these two will be two 45-megawatt peakers located 14 miles west of Watford City in the area that's currently built. The cost of this project is approximately $115 million. They're hoping to start construction in April of 2014 after they have received all the required permits. And they're hopefully in service in January 2015. Looking forward to the hearing, but I would just suspect that when you look at the amount of generation that Basin Electric needs to help serve their co-ops, this is no doubt part of their plan to continue to be able to meet their needs in western North Dakota and throughout the entire region. We've seen some power outages, quite honestly, in the western part of the state. And while some have been related to generation, some have been related to transmission, I think it's just the backdrop of a lot of the cases that are in front of the Public Service Commission right now. We still have the Antelope Valley Station to Tioga line, the 345 kV that we're working on, that's going to potentially move much-needed power to the northwest. The Basin continues to work on building plants like this that are using natural gas that no longer need to be flared, that can help create electricity. So I look forward to this hearing and look forward to the continued development of natural gas as a way to create electricity.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since you're none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. Item BK2. I move the Commission adopt the order on eligible telecommunication carrier designation to designate Total Call Mobile, Inc. as an eligible telecommunication carrier for the purpose of receiving federal universal service support for low-income consumers, case number PU12-820.
Second.
Thank you, Julie. In December of 2012, Total Call Mobile filed a request to be designated as an eligible telecommunication carrier for the purpose of receiving federal USF funds for low-income consumers. And you can see that was filed, over a year ago. And quite honestly, in this case, this was the first time this company had tried to operate in North Dakota. There was a lot of discussion back and forth with our staff and them about who would represent them. They needed to make sure they had a legal representation and allowed to work in North Dakota. They came back basically with some different ways to do things that did comply with the law. It took a while to work through some of that. And the commission, over the last few months, at Commissioner Crispin's lead, has developed a certificate basically doing the best the state can do to make sure there's no duplication of services, make sure there's no defraud of services, if you will. And the company signed that on November of 2013, which quite honestly was really the last piece that we needed to do to move this thing forward. In December of this month, the commission held an informal hearing to discuss the issues with Total Call. Quite honestly, I think they answered, to my opinion, all the questions appropriately. A little background. Total Call is a wireless services that operates in 49 states. If this is approved today, they will be one of 17 states where they currently have the authorization of PTC. They'll be using Sprint as their network provide wireless in North Dakota. There'll be a variety of plans that will be available to customers. And the most important thing, I guess, in my mind, is that until further notice, Total Call shall file at least annually or more often if requested by the Public Service Commission a complete list of Total Call customers and waivers, including North Dakota Department of Human Services Department Form SFN 1059, once again making sure that we can do the best we can to make sure there's not abuse in this program.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Since you're not all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, motion is approved.
Thank you, Darrell. That concludes the two items in my portfolio. Commissioner Crisman is up.
Mr. Chairman, RC1, I move the commission adopt an order in case number GE-13-888, granting the request of Advanced Marketing Group, LLC of Aurora, Oregon, to operate as a roving grain buyer in North Dakota.
Second.
Advanced Marketing Group is a trading company interested in buying flax seed in North Dakota from Elevators. They estimate they will purchase about 86,000 bushels of grain in North Dakota during the first year in operation, and they filed a corresponding $50,000 surety bond. All the statutory compliance has been met, and staff recommends that a roving grain buyer license be issued.
Here we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Since none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And, Mr. Chairman, RC2 has to do with the Falkirk Farmers' Elevator insolvency case. And I'm sad to say we hit another bump this morning, and there's some uncertainty. And these are big issues to those producers who are claimants. And I've always said I want to move these quickly, but it's more important to make sure that we do the best job possible. And so this one, I'm going to ask that it just be put off, and hopefully we can move it along real soon, but not today.
Okay. Jerry, what's the protocol on this? Can we just remove it from the agenda? Or do
No, I would ask that you entertain a motion to hold over.
Okay.
I would withdraw.
Or withdraw.
He's sure that it's going to
Very
be at
good.
The next
yes.
meeting. You should withdraw it. Otherwise, it automatically comes up to the next meeting.
Right. Good point, Commissioner.
So I move that RC2 be withdrawn then.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Just that, you know, I guess we talked about it a little bit, but then we'll see if we can bring this back at that next meeting next week or Monday. It'd be great to move this through this year. I agree with you on that. Once we get all the bumps figured out.
Right.
We're close. We're very close.
Okay. Is there further discussion? Since none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner. Anything else?
That's it for my portfolio.
All right, Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Good morning. I'll start out with one that we held over from last week. I move the Commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and order in the application of Highland Operating LLC for a waiver of procedures and time schedules, a corridor certificate, and a route permit for an existing 6-mile, 6-inch natural gas pipeline in Divide and Burke Counties, North Dakota. Case number PU-12-190.
Second.
January 31st of last year, Highland filed applications for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit for its existing 6.5-mile, 6-inch natural gas pipeline located in Divide and Burke Counties. This pipeline goes from the Norse Gas Plant to a tie-in to the WBI gas line. It runs about 6.5 miles. The pipeline was constructed in 2009 and became operational in 2010. They did not get the route permit and corridor certificate at that time, came back and applied for it after the fact. last meeting, I held this one over, wanting to take a closer look at some of the issues and making sure that we have addressed some of the concerns. It's North Dakota law requires companies to receive a route permit and a corridor certificate before commencing construction, and there's pretty serious penalties for those who don't. They testified at the hearing that they were not aware of the requirement to site this facility, and that wasn't the focus of the hearing, so we didn't pursue that issue in depth. That we were citing this, not looking at any particular fines or penalties. North Dakota law, the standard is that companies must be proven to willfully be violating the law, which is the highest standard. That means that they had to be doing it intentionally, knowingly, or recklessly. And I don't think that that's the case in this instance. So I wanted to make a point to the company and to other companies that North Dakotans treasure our natural resources and our quality of life and our environment. And we have very fair and reasonable siting criteria and standards in place, and state agencies are quite efficient and timely and responsive in getting the permits and certificates in a manner that allows efficient construction. So it's really important that the companies know what the laws are. Not being aware of the law is not a defense. You need to know what the laws are and operate within them. We expect that. We require it. In this case, the company came forward and said, we screwed up. We'd like to cite this now. I appreciate that. We wouldn't have known at this time that this pipe existed. And so it's a good thing that we do. It's good to get it cited. It's good to get it reclaimed in the proper manner and to know where it is and to be able to monitor it moving forward. So that is the most important thing in this issue. So I'm satisfied moving forward that we've done the best that we can in this situation, and hopefully companies, this company and others, will not make similar mistakes in the future. So having said that, basically we had the hearing on site. We talked to the company. There, you know, we looked at the reclamation, identified a few issues that need to be fixed. The company agreed to do those, to fix those. They're following all the safety standards and criteria. They haven't affected any state historical sites or avoidance or exclusion areas. So everything else in this manner seems to be in order. And I recommend we approve this order today.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, motion is approved.
The second issue on in my portfolio really brings to conclusion a matter that started with the commission in 2011. And this matter, JF2 and JF3, are both very similar, so I'll speak about them kind of together, and we'll vote on them separately. So I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order regarding Otter Tail Power Company's environmental cost recovery rider tariff and Otter Tail Power Company's environmental cost recovery rider rates, case number PU-13-79 and case number PU-13-84.
Second.
On February 8th of 2013, Otter Tail Power Company, co-owner of Big Stone Power Plant in South Dakota, filed an environmental cost recovery rider tariff that provides for an adjustment in rates to recover capital costs and associated operating expenses incurred to comply with federal environmental mandates at Big Stone and to recover the costs associated with any future environmental projects. On May 8th, Otter Tail updated its application and to reflect a revised budget for the Big Stone environmental upgrades. On July 10th, we set a hearing for this matter, and we held that hearing on September 16th of 2013. Basically, this project is in response to the 1999 EPA federal or EPA regional haze rules that were passed under the Clean Air Act. These rules required all states to establish a haze implementation plan. This plant is located in South Dakota. It's a 475-megawatt coal-fired power plant that's co-owned by Otter Tail Power, MDU, and Northwestern Corporation of Northwestern Energy in Minnesota. Under the South Dakota plan, we required that owners install an air quality control system at Big Stone to reduce emissions of sulfur oxide and nitrogen oxide. The AQ, it's called AQCS, Air Quality Control System. This equipment is required based on best available retrofit technology, and as determined by the department, the South Dakota Department of Natural Resources. In case number PU-11-165, the commission, that was in May of 2012, the commission approved Ottertail's request for an advance determination of prudence for this project. In that process, they evaluated a wide variety of different proposals for upgrading this plant or converting it to a different type of fuel. And this cost, the cost of converting it using this new technology and keeping the plant as a coal-fired facility was 30% less, even though it ended up being more than $400 million. It was still 30% less than the next most affordable option. So the commission at the time approved the ADP for this project. We, however, didn't approve the ADP on the type of technology that would be ultimately used. At a hearing on September 16th of this year, it showed that the South Dakota BART, Best Available Retrofit Technology determination made was specific to Big Stone. Its particular design and operational characteristics were an important part of the determination. It required that you use an SNCR technology, which is more expensive than what's used in North Dakota plants for this matter. And the reason why this technology was chosen is that Big Stone burns subbituminous coal and is a cyclone boiler, and SCR is a standard NOx control for coal plants in the U.S., similar to Big Stone, that are large cyclone boilers burning subbituminous coal. In the hearing, we learned that this plant would be one of the last to adopt this technology. The project cost is $405 million. That's 17.5% lower than the original budget, which was $490 million, and there's a number of different factors that contributed to that reduced cost, but we were sure glad to see that it was $87.8 million lower for, or no, it was $17 million lower, and 17% lower, about $17 million. Lower for North Dakota customers. So the total cost for North Dakota customers, Ottertail customers, is $87.8 million. This tariff will be, the rate of return used to calculate this investment was the same as Ottertail's most recent general rate case. Ottertail will make annual filings by January 15th of each year to revise their rates to reflect the actual costs. It's estimated to cost customers, Ottertail customers, $2.70 a month for North Dakota's Ottertail power customers to pay for this technology. Again, the highlights are it will reduce 80 to 90% of the NOx and SO2 from this plant. This project is 30% cheaper than the next most affordable alternative. It'll cost customers about $2.70 a month on average for residential customers. And this is in response to 1999 approved EPA rules regarding regional haze.
Here we have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I'll wait till the next motion.
Do you go over that again?
Fancy none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, I'll go all over all that again. No, just kidding. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and order regarding Montana Dakota Utility Company's environmental cost recovery rider tariff and Montana Dakota Utility Company's environmental cost recovery rider rates, case number PU-13-85, case number PU-13-83.
Second.
Everything is exactly the same on this project, except that Montana Dakota's share is was originally $79 million and now forecasted at $65.5 million, which translates to a $1.52 per month increase for average MDU residential customers.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
The I don't know if I hold up my discussion until the end. I'm sure there'll be questions about this, but I guess just to kind of give some thoughts on this is that I was on the commission when we made no determination on what the best technology was, because there was certainly a lot of discussion about, it appeared to me anyway, that North Dakota fought a lot harder than South Dakota did to get things that would benefit customers more. But that being the case, that's South Dakota's right, and that's their decisions. And it just further highlights that the challenges between interstate jurisdiction on generation. And so what it really comes down to for me is that if North Dakota customers from Otter Tail and MDU want access to this reliable, affordable coal generation, you got to pay the freight for what it costs to run it in South Dakota. And so at the end of the day, I was thankful that the company was able to get their costs down quite a bit from their initial costs. And I think that, quite honestly, was due to the pressure that they sensed from this commission that they better have a very good plan when it come back for the time to get cost recovery on this. And I think the companies did a good job. But for the customers out there, I mean, they're going to see, Commissioner Fedorchak laid out the cost increases. They're going to see an increase in their bills to meet requirements that are put in at the federal level that tie into different states' jurisdictions. And you'll see in our schedule, Commissioner Fedorchak and Commissioner Crispin have been taking the lead on a seminar we're putting together on January 22nd about potential CO2 regulations. We continue to see a push from the federal level to incorporate more and more standards on coal generation, which is driving up the cost to consumers, which, you know, you can take either side of that debate that you want, but at the end of the day, it's increased cost to customers. And so this is, I think, a perfect example of a cost that was going to be paid by customers because of regulation that's come down from the federal level, and it directly hits the customers. So I think our job in the commission is to make sure we really understand these impacts and do what we can to make sure that they're appropriate. I mean, it's good to clean up some of your sulfur emissions. I don't think there's a lot of question about some of those. But when you start to get into some of these areas that are pushing the science that perhaps doesn't exist, that's where I get really concerned, because there's still that movement in the country to stop coal generation. I mean, we're very adamant in this state about coal generation. We're very adamant about natural gas generation, very adamant about wind generation. But to shut down this much potential coal in the future because it gets become inefficient and unaffordable to run is going to affect reliability. We heard from MISO at our last national conference, because of potential environmental regulations on coal generation, we could be 8 gigawatts short of power in the Midwest region. And that's going to be huge. So this case today, I think, is very appropriate. I think the companies did a good job to meet the requirements that were given to them. But I think it just highlights the constant struggle and challenge to make sure we keep the lights on and keep the lowest cost power we can.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
I move the commission issue a notice of hearing in the application of Montana Dakota Utilities to extend electric service to Crescent Point Energy U.S., Inc., at a location in Divide County, North Dakota, case number PU-13-199.
Second.
On July 25th of this year, MDU submitted applications to extend electric service to Crescent Point Energy U.S., at a location in Divide County, North Dakota. On September 5th, a notice of protest and request for hearing was received from Burke Divide Electric Cooperative. Today, we're notifying the public that this hearing on this matter has been set for Tuesday, February 3rd at 9 a.m. in the commission in this commission hearing room in the state capitol. And there's about 10 different issues that will be considered in this matter at that time.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Just a couple thoughts. The investor owns and the co-ops throughout the state and the different energy producers, if you will, I think have done a great job with getting service area agreements approved ahead of time when before there's controversy that exists. We've approved over a dozen of those. This is the first one that, since I've been in the commission, that we're actually going to have a hearing because someone doesn't want to allow someone else to serve in their area. And I think in the past they've been able to work it out because there's just so much going on. So this will be a very interesting hearing. I look forward to it, but it is something that I would say is out of the ordinary for what we've grown to see in the Public Service Commission over the last 5 years.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
I move the commission deem the applications complete and issue a notice of filings, a notice of hearing, and the application of Whiting Oil and Gas Corporation for a waiver of procedures and an application for a certificate of site compatibility to expand the Robinson Lake Gas Plant in Montreal County, North Dakota, case number PU-13-835.
Second.
On October 11th, Whiting Oil and Gas filed an application for a certificate of site compatibility for this Robinson Lake Gas Plant in Montreal County. The capacity of the Robinson Lake Gas Plant, which has been in existence in that area for many years already, but the capacity will be increased from 97.5 to 110 million cubic feet per day. And that puts it over the threshold for siting and requires a certificate and from the Public Service Commission. So basically this matter today announces that we will be holding a hearing on that matter and we'll be scheduling the date for that hearing at our scheduling portion of this meeting.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Since you're none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And finally, I believe, I move the commission approve Montana-Dakota Utility Company's 2014 transmission facility cost recovery rates, case number PU-13-839.
Second.
On May 16th, the commission issued an order approving a transmission cost recovery rider the commission approved a transmission cost recovery rider for MDU, and this is them basically coming in requesting their rate for the upcoming year for that rider, which is estimated to be a residential customer increase of $1.22 per month. This rider basically covers the costs of MDU for its share of a bunch of different MISO transmission projects, regional transmission projects throughout the MISO region. Each participating company has to pay a percentage of those costs, and this is MDU's cost for its share of those transmission projects and for some additional transmission service purchases from the WAPA region needed to provide the necessary power out west in North Dakota. So that's basically what's behind these additional customer charges.
Hey, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
One of the things that maybe doesn't get a lot of highlighting around the state is just the importance of these transmission riders and the tariffs that go with them. One of the things that Jerry from our staff, and I know that Otter Tail, MDU, and Excel work very hard to make sure that North Dakota's share of these transmission projects does not increase. There's a fight that took place a few years ago about how they would actually allocate cost, and it was a very, very, very heated, big discussion. And it came out that it really benefited North Dakota customers from the best way we saw, because this transmission is being built to help us in reliability but to serve larger areas. And the cost allocation of how transmission is laid out is very important. It's an ongoing issue. And one of the things that's going to be interesting over the next year is that Southwest Power Pool, which is the equivalent of a MISO, it's a regional transmission organization, they've now been in discussion with Basin Electric and WAPA to become Basin Electric and WAPA's regional transmission organization. So we're now potentially having a Southwest Power Pool intermixed with MISO inside the state of North Dakota. And MDU has already told us that they're going to have to look hard at how they might use transmission in the future and how those costs might affect consumers. So that's one thing that I know, speaking for me personally, pipeline safety has always been my number one priority here. But transmission and transmission planning, I think, is going to be move up the totem pole, because it could be significant to customers how these transmission costs get allocated in the future.
A further note on that, the MISO region itself has been incorporating a lot of new renewable resources into its energy mix. And in doing so, there's been some significant investments in transmission infrastructure. And I think this is what customers are seeing now is paying our share for those upgrades that are necessary to maintain the system and improve reliability for sure, but also to integrate some of the new renewable resources that are being brought online.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Mr. Chairman, that concludes my list of items on the agenda.
All right, perfect. I don't have any closing comments, commissioners?
None.
Julie? All right, we'd be happy to do our best to answer any questions we could.
Let's see here. I'm going to pull it up. I shut my folder. It's for Otter Tail, $270 per month, and for MDU, $152 per month. And this is for the environmental cost recovery rider.
Right. Is that for residential customers?
Residential, correct.
Any idea when they're going to expect to see that on their bill?
Good question. Is this effective in January? January. Mid-January, MDU, January for Otter Tail.
When is the pollution control equipment supposed to be up and operating online?
At their earliest possible time, but I think it was by 2015, if I remember correctly.
There were hard deadlines that the companies had to comply with.
There's hard deadlines, and then it says if you really need another year, you can have one. So I believe it's 2015, but.
In terms of the Highland JF1, basically the company is not being fined or cited in any way.
This matter didn't deal with any potential fines. This was a purely a citing certificate, and we didn't even consider that issue at the hearing. And so this doesn't close the door on the possibility of pursuing fines, but we would have to open an investigation and see if the company was willful and have a hearing on that matter separately, issue a notice and have a hearing on that matter separately in order to pursue that.
It is your belief that I'm hearing is that the company was not willful. The company owned up to it right away.
Right. I think that I don't know if right away is accurate. I have no way of knowing how soon they knew about it and decided they had to go for the certificate and the route permit. But willful is a really high standard, and I may or may not be pursuing in the legislature, you know, some check of that language to see if truly willful is what we want in this instance. I think, personally, companies, there should be no standard. They should just have to know what the law is, and if they avoid it, they should be subject to penalties. So I don't know if how carefully the legislature considered that particular wording when they passed this law and when it was done and all of that. I think there's a different circumstances at play in North Dakota today with all the development that might warrant new consideration of this matter. So, but I don't have any reason to believe that the company was willful in their violation in this case. I don't.
I would just add a little bit. One of the things we always face in the call before you dig violations is someone will say, well, we didn't know. And it's like, okay, we've got these billboards everywhere. We've been putting it out there. But it's one of those things you kind of deal with. So it's the education process all the way around. But while the hearing wasn't designed to deal with this issue, it certainly was a question that I thought of as we were in the hearing. And everything I saw of the company during the hearing is they were very forthright. They laid out, here's what's going on. We want to be operators in the state. We're going to do things the right way. So there was nothing in the hearing that prompted me even to think much past that. But it is always a challenge about when it comes time to implement the jurisdiction we have, whatever it might be, being able to make sure we follow all the steps, make sure that it's sustainable if it actually gets appealed somewhere. So I think at the end of the day, what you want to do is make sure we get the awareness out there to build things safe, to operate them safely. And I think that this case really highlights that out there, that, you know, there are potential consequences, that make sure you're doing things right.
And one more point on it, though, is, you know, we could throw power around and penalize them, but there could be another one that is in the ground or will someday go in the ground without approval, where someone really legitimately didn't know and made a mistake and did it. And really the most important thing is that they come forward and get the approval so that we can make sure that everything was done right, at least in hindsight. And so we want to make sure that we don't put a strong disincentive into people self-reporting if they do make a mistake.
Yeah. I do think, though, that there needs to be, like, call before you dig. Even if they didn't know, they still are subject to violation penalties. And I think in this case, not knowing is no excuse. They need to know. They're big companies. They're managing large projects. This was 6 miles long. It's transmitting gas. These are the type of companies that have attorneys on staff that can do the research to know the laws. Bottom line.
Commissioner Christman, you talked about that you have to hold over this Falkirk elevator thing. You said you ran into some roadblocks. Can you talk about the roadblocks at all?
A little bit, yeah. With Falkirk, the situation is really this. There's, you know, in these insolvencies, there's often cash sale claimants which would get reimbursed from us based on the trust fund that we're able to put together, and there's the credit sale contract claimants whose reimbursement would come from the credit sale indemnity fund. In this case, there's one cash sale claimant. The rest are credit sale claimants. The cash sale claimant will take a significant... There's going to be federal litigation. There's facts to be determined. That's going to take a while. And so my goal here is to see if we can bifurcate this proceeding and look at these credit sale contract cases separately from the cash sale one and get that done. And we just ran into a roadblock on the validity of one or possibly two of the claims. And so rather than rush it through and then have a claimant protest and potentially be correct, we want to make sure that our initial findings of validity are as accurate as possible.
I even expound upon that just a little. I think it's that fine line that over the time the pull between the people that advise us legally and what we need to do to move the ball sometimes. And I think that you go back and you get to a certain point where you think you've got a very strong legal position and you move it. And I think this is the go back and look at our legal positions one more time is really what I think it is. And I think that's probably appropriate.
Say, if I might go back to the Highland issue one last time. I meant to mention this. While the hearing didn't cover this issue, I did ask at the hearing why they didn't go through this process to begin with, and they said they weren't confused by the law. There wasn't anything in there that made them think it wasn't a transmission line or was. They just didn't know. So they basically did say at the hearing under oath that they didn't. The reason why they didn't cite it is because they didn't know they had to. So...
Okay. Dave, anything else? Nick? Going once, going twice? Mike?
No.
Okay. Anything else? No. All right. Let's go ahead and we'll close the official portion of our meeting. And if we could start again at 11 o'clock with our administrative portion of the meeting. Thank you.